Good morning, Lakeside. It's good to see all of you this morning on this rainy morning. But I will tell you, it might be a rainy morning. You sound great. I was sitting down there praying a little bit while you're singing that last Amazing Grace, and wow, praise the Lord for God's people singing praises to Him. Amen. So thankful for what God is doing. There are two types of people in the world. Those that can keep secrets, and I can't tell you about the others. There are three types of people in the world. Those that can count and those that can't. I'll let you figure out which one I am. There are two types of people in the world. Those with a short attention span and, oh, look over there, is a squirrel. In all seriousness, though, there are only two types of people in this world. Two kinds of people in the world. And those are, there are two types of people. Those who are dead in their sins and those who are alive in Christ. That's all. No other distinction should and can be made. And today we are continuing our study of Hebrews chapter 11 by looking at one of the most unexpected people, humanly speaking, to show up in our passage of Hebrews 11, the great hall of faith. Today we're going to be looking at a woman named Rahab. And we're going to see how she was radically rescued by faith. Father, thank you again for this great morning, for singing praises to you, Lord, today. And then, God, thank you for the privilege it is to open your word this morning. Lord, we don't deserve this great privilege of looking into your word together. So, Lord, as we do that today, may your words come out loud and clear, and then may you use your word through your spirit and give us a clear picture of what the next step is that you would want for each one of us, Lord. And then you would give us boldness to take that next step. Lord, we love you and we're looking forward to what you're going to do with your word through your spirit today. It's in Christ's name I pray. Amen. So who was this Rahab? Who was she? Well, I want to give you a little bit of background information before we dive into our text today. So here's some background on Rahab for you. Rahab was a Canaanite. She was living in the land of Canaan. Canaan was that area that God set aside to be the promised land. At this point, as we've been moving through Hebrews 11, as we finished last week, Pastor Trevor preached on Moses and the Israelites crossing the Red Sea. Then they had to wander in the wilderness for 40 years, and then they came around to the side of the Jordan, getting ready to cross the Jordan and take the promised land that God had given them. And so she was a Canaanite, and Canaanites, once you understand, were very pagan, and they were powerful. At this time, they had a plethora of gods. One source I saw, I counted up 51 different false gods that they worshiped. So they were, this culture was full of idolatry, and it was a very sensual religion as well. Which leads me to the second thing. She was also, Rahab was a prostitute. Now, there have been many scholars who have studied this and looked at it, and they just dismiss this as she was just an innkeeper. Because, yeah, in the Old Testament, Joshua, that is the word that we see there, is innkeeper. But then she's spoken about, as we will see today, she's spoken about in the New Testament, and the word in the Greek in the New Testament is actually the word for a prostitute. Or one who sells herself for sexual pleasure. So she is a person that, humanly speaking, we would look at her and we would probably say, and she could probably think this too, I am too far gone to be loved by a gracious and loving God. I'm too far gone. Another thing I want you to understand about Rahab is that her house was built into the wall of Jericho. And Jericho, as I show you this map, so on the right side there you have where the Joshua and the Israelites camped, and then they traveled and they had a miraculous crossing of the Jordan River. And then they went into the promised land, into Canaan, and the first city they came across was Jericho. And Jericho was a fortress of a city. By human standards, this city was impossible to conquer. If you were going to tell them that Jericho was going to fall and it was just going to be destroyed, Jericho and everybody in it would have laughed in your face and said, no way, it could never happen. And so Rahab's house was built into that wall of this mighty fortress of a city called Jericho. So that sets us up today for this text that's before us in Joshua chapter 2. And this look at this woman from Hebrews 11 who by faith, Rahab, lived a life pleasing and hid the spies and had a relationship with God. And so today we're going to look at Rahab's radical rescue by faith. Rahab's radical rescue by faith. And here's the things that took place in her life that made it possible that she was rescued. First is her report of faith. Second will be the response of faith. Third will be the revolution of faith. And then fourth will be the reward of faith. So let's dive in. I trust that you have your own copy of God's Word, either on app or in front of you in the Word form. And so please join me in Joshua chapter 2 this morning. So Joshua chapter 2, we're going to look at this first one, the report of faith. And it starts in verse 8. It says, before the men, the spies. So what had taken place was that there were these spies that Joshua said, go into Jericho and spy it out. Let me know. Come back and give me a report. And so they go into Jericho, and as they're going, the king, they're discovered that these spies are in Jericho. And the king gets the word that they're in there, and so he sends word to Rahab to give up the spies, but instead, because of her faith, she helps the spies. And so verse 8, the men, the spies, lay down. Before they lay down, Rahab came up to them on the roof and said to the men, I know. Two very, very important words. I know that the Lord has given you the land and that the fear of you has fallen upon us and that all the inhabitants of the land melt away before you. For we have heard how the Lord dried up the water of the Red Sea before you when you came out of Egypt, and what you did to the two kings of the Amorites who were beyond the Jordan, to Sihon and Og, whom you devoted to destruction. And as soon as we heard it, our hearts melted, and there was no spirit left in any man because of you. For the Lord your God, here's what she knows about God. For the Lord your God, He is God in the heavens above and the earth beneath. Notice with me that when they heard about God, and I want you to realize something today. What they heard about God was just a little tiny bit of this part of the Bible right here. That's it. What it was the dramatic crossing of the Red Sea, which Pastor Trevor preached on last week. And then it was about the two kings on the other side of the Jordan and the two lands there that they conquered on their way to Jericho. That was all that Rahab had and the people of Jericho had. And yet when they heard that, their hearts melted. Now there's a distinction though. Rahab's heart melted. And by faith, she allowed the one true God to mold her. The rest of the people in Jericho, their hearts melted when they heard what God had done. But the result in their life, because they didn't take that step of faith, their result was fear and doom. You see, what was happening in Rahab's life in these moments as the spies appointed by God to come to her house that day, what was happening there was this head knowledge that she had of God was starting to connect to her heart. And as it was connecting with her heart, when she spoke to the spies and realized what was happening, it came out of her mouth, this great confession: for the Lord, your God, he's God over the heavens, he's God of the earth below, he's God of it all. And it reminds me of what Paul writes later on in Romans chapter 10, 9 and 10. And it says this: because if you confess with your mouth that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart, you have the connection that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart, one believes and is justified, declared righteous. And with the mouth, one confesses and is saved. And I've had opportunities to share this verse with people who haven't come to know Jesus personally. And as I share this verse, I use the illustration of my kids. I have a relationship. I am their dad. My wife is their mom. And they know that. Every now and though, I have the pleasure of hearing my kids, whether they're coming or going, wherever they're, whatever they're doing, to say these words for that relationship that they have in their heart and in their mind to spill out of their mouth. And they say, "Mom, Dad, I love you." And that's what God is saying. It's what Paul is saying here. When the heart knowledge of what Jesus has done for you connects with your heart, it spills out in confession to him, and admitting your love for him and your need to be rescued. And that took place in Rahab's heart. Her heart was melted so that, and by faith, God molded her into what he wanted of her. So let's look at now, so we saw the report of faith, this great statement of faith that Rahab made. And now we're gonna see the response of faith. So Rahab goes on, and as she's interacting with the spies in Joshua chapter 2, in verse 12, we find out that she's letting them down the wall with a rope, getting them out of town, helping them, hiding them. And as she's doing this, she says, now then in verse 12, "Please swear to me by the Lord that as I have dealt kindly with you, you also will deal kindly with my father's house, and give me a sure sign that you will save alive my father and mother, my brothers and sisters, and all who belong to them, and deliver our lives from death." So she requests, her response here is a request for the rescue. She made her statement of faith, said, "Yes, your God is the God of it all, not these gods that we worship here in Jericho." And then she acts on that by saying, "I need a rescue. Please swear to me today that you'll deal kindly with me and you'll rescue me and my family." And so she lets them down by a rope outside the wall. Her house was built in the wall, so she's letting them down. And as she's letting them down, this conversation takes place, and the spies tell her something very important to do that I don't want you to miss today, because it's pretty amazing. So hold on. Look at verse 17 with me of Joshua 2. Being let down the wall, and the men, the spies, say to her in verse 17, we will be guiltless with respect to this oath of yours that you have made us swear. Behold, when we come into the land, you shall tie this scarlet cord in the window through which you let us down. And you shall gather into your house your father and mother, your brothers, and all your father's household. Then if anyone goes out of the doors of your house in the streets, his blood shall be on his own head, and we shall be guiltless. But if a hand is laid on anyone who is with you in the house, his blood shall be on our head. But if you tell this business of ours, then we shall be guiltless with respect to your oath that you have made us swear." So here's what the spies tell Rahab. They tell Rahab, tie the scarlet cord in the window on the side of the wall. Let it hang out on the side of the wall, outside the wall, out your window, the scarlet cord. And then you and your family, I want you to stay put inside the house. I want you to go within your house and stay there. Don't go out, because if you go out, the blood's on your hands then. Your blood's on your hands. And then stay inside until we, the spies, and the nation of Israel come to Jericho. We will then save you. Stay there until we come. This takes me back to something we just talked about not too long ago in this series about Moses and the people of Israel and the Passover. You remember the Passover? The people of Israel are in Egypt. God sends 10 plagues to show that he's the one true God and not the Egyptian gods. And the 10th plague is the death of the firstborn. Before he goes and kills all the firstborn, he gives a way of escape to the Israelites if they would act by faith. And he says to them, take a male lamb without blemish and sacrifice it and put its blood on the doorpost and put the scarlet blood across the top of the door and stay inside that night as God would go through then and destroy the firstborn of the land of Egypt. But the houses that had the blood applied, God would pass over and spare the firstborn. Do you see the picture back at Rahab? It's like, put the scarlet cord out and go inside your house and salvation is coming. Now, there's a very interesting thing that I'm hoping will get you excited about a certain word here today. So this word that is for, it says in our version, verse 18, behold, when we come into land, you shall tie the scarlet cord. This word cord, I want you to write it down. I want you to think about it, because it's an amazing word. It points to something greater than just the Passover. So this word is the Hebrew word tikva. I know all of you are like, what? What? Okay, whatever. No, it's really good. Here we go, okay? Tikva. The word cord or tikva is translated everywhere else in the Old Testament and it's with its figurative meaning, which is these words, hope and expectation. Hope and expectation. So when it talks about literally the scarlet cord that she's hanging out the window, what figuratively it means is that she's hanging out the sign of hope and expectation. It's the same word that Jeremiah would pen years later when the people of Israel were taken in exile because of their idolatry against God and their sin against God. And he would write these words to the leaders of the nation of Israel and to the people. He said in verse 11 of Jeremiah 29, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord." They're not plans for this destruction, plans for welfare, not for evil. To give you a future and a tikva, to give you a hope and an expectation. Don't miss this today. The significance of the scarlet cord that Rahab tied from her window is that it was an outward sign of her hope and expectation because of her inward faith in the one true God. But not only that, it points to another red lifeline, another red hope that flows down the cross in the form of our sinless Savior's blood. The only thing that could be shed for the remission of our sins, for our sins to be wiped away. And if we would cling to that old rugged cross and that blood-stained cross and the blood of Jesus, let me tell you, we cling to that, we will be saved forever. So thankful for the blood of Christ. And then once we surrender at the cross, we cling, the rest of our lives we cling to our precious Savior so that we will have this hope and this expectation that will never disappoint. Amen? If you're a believer in here today, your hope and expectation will never disappoint you. You will realize it like none other someday. And you'll realize it in the trials you're facing right now. So we have Rahab, her radical rescues happening here by faith. She had the report of faith. She gave the response of faith. And now we see this revolution of faith that comes her way. The revolution of faith. I started off in the beginning by saying this, and this is the truth about Jericho. There were only two kinds of people in Jericho. Those who were dead in their sins and facing destruction, and those who were alive by faith in the one true God and facing their rescue. And in Joshua chapter 6, the walls of Jericho miraculously fall down. When I was a little one growing up, praise the Lord, in a Christian home with Christian-loving, with Christ-loving parents, I remember going to Sunday school and learning the old song. And the end of the song about Jericho was, "And the walls came tumbling down, and we all fell down." That's exactly what took place in Joshua 6 at Jericho. But let me tell you, remember, her house was built into the wall. She had the scarlet cord hanging out, her scarlet expectation, hope hanging out to identify her faith that she had in God. And the walls came tumbling down, but there was one section of that wall. I just picture this. Before they destroyed the rest of the city, there's one section of the wall that stood strong. And the spies went in and pulled her out and her family out and brought them out. Look at what Joshua 6, 24 through 25 says with me. "So, and they," the Israelites, "burned the city with fire and everything in it." It's everything and everyone, by the way. "Only the silver and gold and the vessels of bronze and of iron they put into the treasury of the house of the Lord. But Rahab the prostitute and her father's household and all who belonged to her, Joshua saved alive." I love that phrase, saved alive. "And she has lived in Israel to this day because she hid the messengers whom Joshua sent to spy out Jericho." Rahab is saved alive with her house and is brought into the fold of Israel. She marries into the people. Think about this. She radically abandons her old way of life. Really think about this for a minute. As she's going away from her town, from her old life, it is literally burning behind her. That's the complete transformation that was made and the complete abandonment that she decided on that day. Everything was being completely destroyed and done away physically in her old life, and she was going into the fold of God's people that day. I can't help but think of another one of Paul's writings in 2 Corinthians 5:17, where it says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away. Behold, the new has come." Amen? You know, sometimes I think in my own life, in my own heart, that the world behind me needs to be destroyed. I need to see more of that in my own life physically, like she did. And I've realized the longer I've been a believer and a follower after Christ, the more and more, I will tell you this, the more and more my desire for this stuff is being stripped away. This world is not my home. Jesus is my home. Have you been revolutionary transformed in your life? Have you been transformed? Let's go on then. Let's see this last thing here. The report of faith, the response of faith, the revolution of faith, and then this reward of faith that Rahab had and enjoyed. The reward of faith. There's a few of them in the life of Rahab that took place. Because of the faith she had in Christ, God allowed these things in her life. And I want you to understand, this reward was not earned. It was by grace and grace alone that she experienced these rewards. First of all, her faith is testified by God himself through his word as genuine faith. Look with me in James chapter 2. If you have your Bibles, I'll have it on the screen, but turn to James chapter 2. It's good for you to put your eyes on it. James chapter 2. In James chapter 2, verses 21 through 26, listen to what God writes through the pen of James. Was not Abraham, our father, justified by works when he offered up his son Isaac on the altar? You see that faith was active along with his works, and faith was completed by his works. And the scripture was fulfilled that says, Abraham believed God, and it was counted to him as righteousness. And he was called a friend of God. You see that a person is justified by works and not by faith alone. So Abraham, yeah, okay, I get it. We talked about Abraham in the series very early on. He is the patriarch, right, of Israel. It's Abraham. But then James writes this. And in the same way, just like Abraham, was not also Rahab, the prostitute, justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way? For as the body apart from the spirit is dead, so also faith apart from works is dead. One writer said this about this idea of faith apart from works is dead. He said this, one preacher said this. The faith that alone saves us, because it's by grace alone, by faith alone, amen, in Jesus, right? But that faith that alone saves us, it's never alone. It is always followed with the good works. Works that look like Jesus. And they don't happen overnight, right? And these verses in the Bible that we have, so Rahab's put on the same level of Abraham, and these verses in James chapter 2 aren't for us to sit here and go, oh, well, you're not doing what you're supposed to be doing. You must not be a Christian. It's not for us to go around and do that and be a fruit inspector of people's hearts. It's made for us, me personally, to look in my heart. And to see the works that are coming out of my heart, are they looking more and more like Jesus every day? Because those works testify to the genuineness of my faith in Christ alone. And so I'd ask you today, take some time, look into your own heart, allow God to say, God, just show me. And if you don't see a pattern of works that are looking more and more like Jesus, you want to make sure you have faith alone in Christ alone. So not only that reward that God testifies about her genuine faith in the book of James, but we also see in Joshua chapter 6, as we read earlier, that she was taken into the fold of Israel and that she lived with the Israelites, which means she married into the Israelites, with the Israelites. And lo and behold, turn your Bibles to Matthew chapter 1. Lo and behold, in Matthew chapter 1, verse 1 starts off with this. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of God. Now, I know every reading plan, you get to a genealogy, and that's where reading plans through the Bible die. Right? Not this one, though, okay? Because there's a nugget. Watch this. There's lots of nuggets, but this one's particular. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the Son of David, the Son of Abraham. Abraham was the father of Isaac. and Isaac the father of Jacob, and Jacob the father of Judah and his brothers, and Judah the father of Perez, and Zerah by Tamar, and Perez the father of Hezron, and Hezron the father of Ram, and Ram the father of Amminadab, and Amminadab the father of Nahshon, and Nahshon the father of Salmon, and Salmon the father of Boaz by Rahab. There she is. And Boaz the father of Obed by Ruth, and Obed the father of Jesse, and Jesse the father of King David. And you could read the rest this afternoon, and you get to none other than Jesus, the Savior of the world. What a reward that she didn't earn. It's her privilege to be counted as righteous because of her faith and put into the lineage of Jesus Christ, her Savior. And then the last one, which, because this is the truth for anybody who puts their faith in God and Jesus alone, she's with Jesus today, by the way. That's the greatest reward. She's with her Savior today. And I cannot wait. I so look forward to heaven, because I'm going to run in the arms of Jesus. I'm going to get to talk to him, and I'm going to throw myself down before him and say, thank you, thank you, thank you. But I get to talk to Rahab. I have all eternity, so I got all these people I want to go talk with. Rahab's one of them. I want to sit down with her and say, what was going through your mind? How would God change your heart? Well, just tell us. I read it, but there's so much that's missing. And there I know she'll just exalt Jesus above all else. I guarantee it. So, Rahab's radical rescue by faith. She gave a report of her faith, confessed it with her mouth, which led her to act on that faith by asking for asking for her to be rescued. And then her actions were revolutionized. She transformed completely. And then she faced great reward, all because of her faith alone in Jesus. And in closing, I want to read this passage of scripture today. And I want you to remind you that as I read this passage of scripture, there are only two types of people in this room today. There are those of you who are dead in your sins and trespasses. You're dead people walking. And then there are those who are alive in Christ. This passage I'm going to read for you, it is Rahab's testimony, Rahab's story. It is my personal story. And the question is it yours today? Ephesians chapter 2, verses 1 through 9, starts off, and Paul says this, and you, to the believers at Ephesus, you were dead in the trespasses and sins in which you once walked, following the course of this world, following the prince of the power of the air, the spirit that is now at work in the sons of disobedience, among whom we all once lived in the passions of our flesh, carrying out the desires of the body and the mind, and were by nature children of wrath, like the rest of mankind. That's Rahab. That's you and me. This is written in the past tense, but for some of you, it's still in the present tense. For some of you, you are dead in your trespasses and sins. You are walking in them today. You are following the course of this world. You're following the prince of the power of the air. You're living for the passions of your flesh. You're carrying out the desires of your body and of your mind, and you're by nature, your own nature, you're going to your default, which is children of wrath. This passage goes on. But God, being rich in mercy. Not because we're good, though. Look, because of the great love that which he loved us. Even when we were dead in our trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace, you have been saved and raised us up with him and seated us with him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, so that in the coming ages, he might show the immeasurable riches of his grace and kindness towards us in Christ Jesus. Amen. Just like Rahab, there's not one person in this room that's too far gone. Have you had a but God moment? Have you had a but God moment? If not, today is the day. And the beauty of God and the love of God is, it's so simple. Because right where you're sitting, in the quietness of your own heart, you can just go to him and admit that you are a sinner, that nothing good that you do could earn a way into heaven. But you admit you're a sinner and you believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be radically rescued right there. And I can't implore you all enough, receive the free gift of salvation today. Do it today, right where you are. Have you had a but God moment? If so, the but God moment demands all of us. And this is the part of this passage that God is working me over with. The but God moment demands all of us. Not just a part of our heart, not just a part of our schedule, not just a part of our world, but all of it. Does the one, believer, brother and sister in Christ, does the one, Jesus, who gave it all for you, does he have all of you today? Father, thank you. Thank you for recording this wonderful rescue of Rahab. Thank you for putting it in your word so that we could read it today and be challenged. And Lord, I pray right now, if there's one who has not had a but God moment, God, right where they're sitting, I pray that they would just tap out and surrender all, admit that they're a sinner, and receive the free gift that you are just extending constantly to them. And Lord, those of us who have had that but God moment, do whatever it takes to have all of us. We look forward to what you're going to do. We love you in Christ's name. Amen.